Hey guys, if you want updates on our latest episodes, then be sure to subscribe to the Film Colossus podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Also, if you'd like to support the show and hear episodes ad-free, then subscribe to our Patreon page at patreon.com/filmcolossus.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
My name is Travis Bean.
My name is Chris Lambert.
And welcome to Film Colossus,
your guide to movies.
You, the one with that smile, yeah, come over here for a while. Hey girl, do you hear what I say? I don't have time to be waiting all day. Just believe that it's not all so wrong.
I love the way you say it. It's like I'm walking into like you're a tour guide or something, and I'm entering, I don't know, some historic mansion or something.
I was an orientation leader in college.
I bet you were.
I'd be like, "Welcome to Case Western Reserve University." Just flows right off the tongue.
Did you ever encounter any lost students who thought maybe they were body switching of someone else, and they felt a lost, severed connection with somebody, whoever it was?
Once a year.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah. It's weird how often it happens, but
I don't know. These body switcheroo movies get in people's heads.
they want to live the dream.
I myself love a good body switcheroo, which is why I am very ecstatic to be talking about the 2019. Is it 2019? Is that when that movie came out?
Not even close.
Really? 2016?
2016, yeah.
2016 movie. I've been writing about The Lighthouse, which came out in 2019. My brain's in two different places at once. very excited to be talking about this movie that came out 7 years ago, Your Name.
Yeah, which is one that's been big on the Film Colossus website for a minute. You wrote about it in, what was it, like 2018, 2019?
I feel like, yeah, it was way back then.
Yeah, so it's been one of our top view getters for years, and I've always meant to watch it, hadn't watched it, so this was my first time seeing this movie.
Yeah, and I guess we'll just jump right in. What were your expectations going in?
I wasn't sure how it was going to go. I remember people talking about how popular this movie was. I think it was, what, like the second or third highest grossing movie in Japanese made film, like in Japan,
right,
in history. So it was hugely successful. But I wasn't sure if it was going to be like Grave of the Fireflies,
right,
or something a little more upbeat and fun.
Right.
Like Spirited Away or Grave of the Fireflies. I wasn't.
Spirited Away, a nice uplifting movie.
It's empowering.
But compared to Grave of the Fireflies, for sure.
Yeah, so I didn't know going in what to expect, but I do know that everybody that I've ever talked to about this movie just like raves about it. And I know,
including me.
Yeah, over the years that it's been something that you've like hyped up a lot, talked about a lot in terms of just how much you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't too sure how much I was gonna like happy cry or sad cry.
That's a good preview. I want to count by the end of the podcast. Okay.
what did you know about it before you wrote about it?
Not much. This was back when you and I were in the midst of like overhauling the website, I think, and we were kind of committing to these big, long, monstrous articles, which is the opposite of what we do now, kind of. But like this one article that'll answer every single question you have about Your Name. And I think the two movies we picked were Black Swan, which you covered, and Your Name, which we had just found from like Googling, just like a general sense of movie discussion online, like these were two movies that a lot of people were curious about. So heading into it, I felt a little intimidated, I guess, because I think the reasons a lot of people are confused about this movie are purely plot based and like the logic of everything, which isn't necessarily my forte, as Chris knows, and as anyone who's listened to this podcast knows, like, I don't really care about logic in movies that much. It's not something that like sticks out to me when I'm watching a movie. So going to this, I kind of had that, like, it was locked and loaded, like, okay, I have to pay attention to the logic and like figure things out. And it actually was kind of fun for me to do. I wrote that article and tried to answer all the different questions. I think some stuff probably just doesn't make sense, which I'm sure Chris will talk about. But I was doing my best to like answer all those questions, cover all those things. And so basically, while I could have had an intimidated feeling, like, I think just remember like really enjoying the movie and excited by all of the strange things that it did and trying the and the prospect of having to connect all the dots. So, but the other thing to say, I guess, is that while I really like anime and some of my favorite movies are anime, I don't watch it a ton. I usually just watch the ones that like I'm supposed to watch. And Your Name was maybe like one of the only times I've just watched like a popular, I don't know how to say this, because it's not like the Studio Ghibli movies aren't deep. I don't know. It felt like my first time watching just like a popular anime movie. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, something that just like all the anime nerds like, as opposed to something like from Studio Ghibli or something like Mind Game, like these really deep psychological things, you know. But this was just purely, it felt like it just had like a bunch of anime fans attached to it. So I wasn't sure how I was going to react to it, but I ended up really liking it. So I don't know, maybe I need to watch more anime.
You definitely need to watch more anime. that's something I've watched a ton of anime.
Yeah, you've watched a lot of it.
But mostly series, like movie wise, I haven't watched all that much, like Akira, Paprika, Perfect Blue,
all the ones I've seen.
Yeah, like Spirited Away, the Ghibli movies. What's the, like, the Earthsea, which I think is like a Ghibli offshoot movie. There hasn't been like a ton of them. Like some of the like Dragon Ball Super, like Dragon Ball Z, like,
for sure,
yeah, movies that are like spin-offs of TV series that I've liked. So it's definitely an area, Akira, of course, it's an area that I need to dive into more myself. It was funny. I mean, maybe, oh, I've never watched any of Makoto Shinkai. Yeah, I haven't heard of any of his other movies.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen his early ones. I've just seen this. I watched half of Weathering With You because I just couldn't get into it. And then I saw Suzume, which I really loved.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, Garden of Words, I maybe remember hearing about, but I don't. Yeah. And then the new one, it's Suzume?
Yeah. No.
Okay. It was funny. Somebody said that he made, like, I tweeted about watching this, and somebody's like, he's made the same movie three times in a row.
Yeah, he has.
I looked up like the descriptions for Weathering With You and cracked up, and then Suzume?
It's Suzume.
Okay, and cracked up. I was just like, yeah, that's pretty, I mean, but when you find it, if you have a niche that's making money, like,
yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. I thought about that too, because I almost suggested like we should do Suzume like after we do Your Name, but I was like, the plots are so similar that like maybe we should do a Your Name Suzume like dual episode or something.
I mean, it seems like that would be fitting. I laughed when I read the plot. It reminded me, I was saying to my wife, it would be like if Gwen Stefani, after making the banana song, made another song that was like apples.
Yeah.
And then another song that was just like grapefruits. G R A
And then she makes a song called Roast Beef, and everyone's like, she took a bad left turn there.
Yeah, like, why? Of all the foods. Of all the foods. Maybe go with, like, pumpkin. I don't know.
Maybe she saw the word beef and thought it was a beet.
Oh, I like that. Or, you know, it's completely not in the right time frame, but with your name, who cares about time? You know, it all gets tangled.
I agree.
Maybe she watched the new Netflix show Beef.
That's very true. There's a lot of possibilities here.
Okay.
But what I do like about what all these movies share, there's always something like grand going on, something celestial, something intangible, something of like the earth, of the sky that's wrecking everything happening on earth and like disrupting people's lives. And there are people down below trying to like maneuver within it and find enlightenment and fulfillment, like trying to like navigate themselves within all that and find meaning in the face of something that makes them feel so small and insignificant. But what I really like about what Shinkai does is he isn't necessarily depicting two things in conflict as opposed to representing two things that are trying to understand each other, like trying to make some sort of connection. I just love the spirituality that comes out of that. Like all of these movies like kind of go through those motions. Like here in Your Name, it's this comet that's going to strike and kill this girl and her entire town. And it makes all these like higher than human elements like seem intimidating and like something you can't compete with. But really, it ends up being something that forms a connection between you and like the past, you and your ancestors, you and this person that lives in Tokyo. It becomes this connection that like binds people on Earth. Like everyone is able to converge and reflect together about this thing that's bigger than them, that they can't control, you know? And it just becomes this element of like connection between everybody, which I really love.
Well, you mentioned the idea of control. I think Japan, I don't want to say more than other countries, but relative, I think, to some of the larger countries that might have weather events, like disasters that hit, it's just, it feels like Japan's had so many disasters over the decades.
Right.
Whether that is man-made from the bombs being dropped or just from earthquakes, tsunamis, like the natural volcanic eruptions, the natural events that have occurred, a lot of their media explores that, like
right.
The people, the cities, the culture reacting to disaster, and how disaster impacts, shapes, reforms. And that's what kind of jumped out to me about Your Name, is it's not just exploring that, but it's exploring the element of control you can have in the wake of disaster. Like how wonderful it would be if, you know, people 13 years ago or 10 years ago, whenever the big tsunami hit, they were able to go back and like warn people, save people,
right,
like make changes. So there's something very youthful about that idea of like these kids are like changing their destinies in the future. But it also feels like something that's probably cathartic for a lot of people in a way that maybe like me watching it that's never lived through something like that can't really see or feel in a way that, you know, somebody living in Tokyo, outside of Tokyo, and one of the cities that have been affected by these disasters, like really like would gravitate and resonate with this message.
Yeah. I think that's what I really love. And maybe I had a long-winded roundabout way of getting to this point, is that what I love about the movies the most is they're very philosophical. I think I'm just so used to movies, everything's like a metaphor for something. Like this represents this and this represents that. And what I find refreshing about Shinkai's movies is they just feel representative of something on a much larger spectrum. Like it isn't necessarily representative of this like one thing someone can go through, like grief or something like that, but just a general sense of unknown, of trying to figure out who you are, just like this general feeling that pervades a lot of people. And can really prevent them from realizing who they are and finding real fulfillment in life. I love that this movie just kind of becomes a representation of that, when you can feel so small and insignificant in the face of something like completely destroying you and your town. How do you navigate that? Like, what does it mean? What does that ultimately become a representation of? And I love that this movie just kind of goes down so many different paths, like your connection to the past, your ability to find love, appreciating your family and its traditions. There's like all, there's so much like within it that goes on to define like this general grander thing that Mitsuha and Takeo are going through.
Even the duality that they're experiencing, with Mitsuha being in Taki's body, Taki being in Mitsuha's body. There's a brief part where Taki ends up on a date with Miss Okadera, which is like a huge win for him. Like the other, his coworkers are jealous. He had a crush on her. He's excited. But the reason he's getting this opportunity is because Mitsuha, as Taki, has been engaging with Miss Okadera in like a much more like feminine way than what Taki, who had been a lot more prone to his like base masculinity, had been able to deliver on. And it's like we see him in some ways like open up, become more vulnerable. I don't know if he leans into his feminine side in the same way that like Mitsuha does, or like shows off. It's not like he's like playing with his hair at times, or like becoming as sweet as Mitsuha was as when she's Taki. But the larger message that it's sending about like the duality and the dual nature of men and women, and the ability for Taki as Mitsuha to kind of show off more of this galvanized, we're going to take action energy. And she picks up that torch at the end. Like, it's not Taki that saves her. It's Mitsuha, like, waking up and realizing, oh no, like, I'm going to make moves that ultimately save us. So you're seeing, like, this blending of Taki learning more vulnerability, Mitsuha learning more, like, action, and the way in which both of these people not only benefit from the encounter in the short term, but what that's saying in just like a broader scope of individuals tapping into like the holistic like zeitgeist that we have. Like, I think that's a really nice message as well, that's kind of subtly portrayed in this movie.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Yeah, I love everything that you said, and I feel like that's a big part. Okay, going back to Suzume, like, yes, the generally, like, what the plots of those two movies are, like, pretty similar, but their abilities to get to these, to the point you just described, like this bigger, larger connection you share with your people, and the connections you find with people and how it makes you feel part of something bigger. Like, that's such an amazing thing both of them do in very different ways. Like, Suzume, she has to go out and tackle these disasters, natural disasters that keep happening to Japan. And she finds these doors, and these doors open up like this worm-like monster that, oh my God, this sounds crazy, that goes out and like causes this natural disaster. And every time she goes to one of these doors, she sees visions of people who are destroyed by past natural disasters, and she starts forming connections with them, and it becomes her way of dealing with losing her own mother to a natural disaster. This movie, I feel like Your Name does something very similar, where Mitsuha, when she finally discovers like what this comet's going to do to her town, it isn't just like about going and stopping it. It's about realizing how this connection with Taki happened. Like, what does it mean that you're connected to this person? Like, now all of the ancestral traditions make sense and you feel connected to them. Like, it makes you feel part of something bigger, and that's the motivation that pushes you forward and creates action and causes you to go out and create change in the world. I just love that his movies are able to capture that larger communal sense of being that maybe I'm mostly connecting with, it because like I feel like I'm just at that stage in my life where I'm feeling the importance of like knowing what's going on in the world and feeling that connection with people and recognizing the hurt I felt in other people, and then being able to empathize with hurt that other people are having in other parts of the world and things I haven't experienced. And again, feeling connected to all that and feeling part of something bigger. Like, that is such a crucial thing, I think, for just my well-being. I think for all human beings, we're at such a pivotal moment for that kind of reflection. And I just love that these movies are going after that feeling.
It's nice. It's nice. I was just thinking that got me into the, you mentioned the traditions and starting to get into some of the plot points of like, did they mention at one point that this was probably why they started the traditions, like of keeping the shrine, and like, this is what her Mitsuha's family, like why their body switching has happened over the years was like, yeah, for this moment.
The grandmother, what's her name? Hitoba?
Where is it?
Hitoha. Well, the grandmother, she mentions that they have all these traditions and they don't know the reasons for the traditions anymore. Because all of their documents were lost in the fire that happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I kind of love that about the movie. Again, this is a thing that I think drives a lot of people crazy, that like things aren't explained like that. But I really like that about the movie, that there are these unknowables and that you just kind of have to trust in the ethereal, spiritual nature of the, what is their family name? Miyamizu?
Yeah.
They're just a long line of traditions and like what it represents. And I think it's implied in the movie anyway, that when the first comet struck, it created the shrine. It created like the lake and everything, and it created the space where the shrine was, and that their ancestors somehow knew that they always shared, as the grandmother reveals, like she used to have a connection with somebody. She used to go have a dream and she would dream about switching bodies with somebody. But over time, those dreams became hazy and she kind of forgot who the person was. And I think the movie's implying that throughout this entire time, between the first comet and the second comet, the Miyamizu family like knew about the future comet, maybe by switching bodies with someone who would then later know that the comet happened. I'm not sure. But I think that's the implication, that they've always like shared their other half with somebody, and that's why they always go through the shrine and like give the rice wine, whatever it's called, and that's always existed, and that no one's ever come close to actually like finding each other and being able to stop the comet like Taki and Mitsu have been.
Yeah, I wonder how much the theory that started to form in my mind was that the first comet had some kind of magical property and it was her family that benefited from it, either because they already like had the shrine or made the shrine or something, but over time it's given them that capacity to like entangle
yeah.
I guess entangle with people. But it seemed to me like maybe it wasn't always comet related, but mostly just kind of like a puberty kind of coming of age thing that happened for a period of time and then you forget about it and move on with your life. And it may not have always had a lot of deep meaning,
right,
but was something that they're like, we don't know why this is happening. And then when this happens, they're like, oh, this is why it was happening.
Yeah. I guess that's true. It could not necessarily be related to the comet and more just like, you're right, the comet had these magical qualities and created this ability. And then in turn, it just becomes, and again, I like this about the movie, that isn't necessarily defined, that this right. connection they have shared with people like can represent whatever it needs to represent. And in this case, in addition to, you know, helping Mitsuha save her town and her family, it just ultimately comes to reflect this crazy ethereal connection you have with somebody, like just the feeling of love and knowing when like you found something special of somebody.
Yeah, that it gets at the idea of soulmates and like what makes somebody a soulmate. It's a nice twist on that concept.
Yeah.
I was watching it, so like the actual viewing experience, I will say there was like the first 30 minutes I was like curious, but I was a little like bored for a time.
I would that's kind of how I felt the first time, is like at the very beginning I was like, is this what this movie is? Like, I just wasn't that into it.
Yeah, I'm glad it shifted. Like, I think this is something I complain about a lot, but I don't know how many times I've talked about it on the the podcast. I feel like a lot of movies will draw out act one and act two and really like use the end of an act two as the end of the story. So it'll end with Take Shelter is a movie that a lot of people like really love. It has kind of like a cult following, and it's one that I think is a good example of that issue that I have, to where mm-hmm. the first act introduces the fact that Michael Shannon starts to have visions, and the second act is what's happening when he's having these visions and how it's starting to destroy his life. And you don't know if it is mental illness or if he's truly getting visions from God about a disaster that's going to happen. And the movie kind of ends with act two ending, act three starting, with this twist where you're like, oh man. But you don't get to explore the fallout of that revelation, that it's like this thing or that thing. It's really like the buildup is, it was this one. And you're just like, okay. But like, that doesn't tell me like what's going to happen now to his relationships, what's going to happen to him.
Right.
It would be like if you've seen Take Shelter, right?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it'd be like if Knock at the Cabin ended, I don't know, before any of the actual events started, and like ended right. with the first kind of hint that something happened. And you're just like, well, what's the rest of the movie? Like, what's the rest of the story? So yeah. I really appreciate when movies set up a concept and aren't afraid to say, like, okay, we're done with that now, or we're moving on to the next thing.
Yeah.
So the fact that the body switching was primarily just the first, like, 30 to 40 minutes, and then it really moved off into the rest of the story, I found refreshing and, like, a relief. And the fact that we even then, and a lot of anime are really good at this, they're not afraid to jump forward in time. One of my favorite shows ever is called Gurren Lagann. And I think it's at episode 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there. It skips ahead like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the fallout and the aftermath of everything that's happened in the first part. Like, it's really cool that they take the time to do that. So that was something that I definitely appreciated here, that not only did it move on from the body switching as like the main shtick,
yeah,
and
right.
looking into some of the what do you do with the knowledge that you've gained from this, but that it jumped ahead and gave us that final act of Taki, like, in the future, 5 years later, what's he doing, how's he feeling, and having that last little chapter with him and Mitsuha, I thought was like a really nice closure. So yeah. Despite, like, I still don't think it was really charming, but I don't know. It does a lot of great things, but it's still like, it didn't have like the highs for me that something like Akira or Spirited Away kind of have.
You mean the whole movie?
The whole movie. But overall, I thought just like very charming, very enjoyable. I'm glad they made the call of having them like meet at the end. Like, that was satisfying.
I know what you mean about not having the highs. Like, I think I would go as far to agree with that, even though I really love Your Name. But I don't, I guess that necessarily isn't a requirement for me in a movie. Like, I do think it reveals something special about a movie like Spirited Away, that just by exploring what it's exploring, both, you know, psychologically with the characters and just like the places that stories, the story goes, like, it does things that feel just like you've never seen it before. And Your Name, I think, I mean, Your Name does have moments where it does it, but maybe just not on the level Spirited Away. But I think I kind of like that about Your Name, that it's very sure of itself and like kind of locked in its state and always in step with what it's doing. Like, I think that's what I like about it the most, is that I never feel like lost. Like, I always feel like it's guiding me towards something enlightening, and that there's going to be catharsis, there's going to be, these characters are going to a place where they're going to understand finally like what they've been trying to understand. The thing I really love about Shinkai's movies is that they're neither sentimental nor calamitous, you know, like, they're not like, it isn't just like going in one direction or the other. Like, it is a wonderful mix of those things. And I always just feel safe in his hands of the only the few movies I've watched. But I just feel like there's such optimism in his movies in that way, that you can't deny that like bad things happen in the world. But these people are just always navigating those bad things in such a positive, forward stepping, forward thinking way, that I guess to me, that's the high. Like, the whole movie's the high. Like, I kind of love that it always has that optimistic attitude going with it.
Yeah, I wasn't sure that optimism was going to be there. Especially when you find out, like, Mitsuha, like,
yeah,
died. I was just like, oh no. Like, oh no, we are going, like, that sad. It's making me tear up now thinking about, like, if the movie went that direction. My wife's laughing as she hears that. So it was like, it was nice that it brought that back, and you do get that overall like good mix of energies, to where, like, yeah, it wasn't played off as like overly sentimental or overly like, oh god, there's a, I think it's a Korean movie called A Moment to Remember.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like one of the ultimate gut punch movies I've ever experienced.
Did I see that one? Sounds familiar.
I think I talked about it. I don't think I made you watch it, but it would have been back in that like 2012.
Yeah, I remember period. This movie. I don't think I saw it though.
Yeah, it was, that one hurt. I think it was like a darling on Rate Your Music that year.
Sure.
So I was glad it didn't go
yeah,
like that way or like lean so hard in that direction for a bit of time. Like, yeah, there is something nice just about the mix of emotions and positivity we get with Your Name.
Totally. I too, like, I don't know how I always react to movies like this, but I really just like the energy of it. Like all of the super lame songs that are playing. I mean, I'm sure a lot of this is just typical of anime or Japanese movies. I'm not super knowledgeable, but like, I really love just how genuine a lot of it felt. Like how the friends, like they're very goofy and like they play their tropish roles, but like they're very genuine and realized as well. I just, in the moments where like, you know, Taki's feeling his boobs and Mitsuha's body, like all that stuff is, I could see someone just like looking at that and rolling their eyes, but like I kind of just love all that stuff that the movie's doing. Every time I've watched it, I'm delighted by it.
It becomes like a, especially how they play it off as like the setup, like you think that there's the punchline, but then you get the real punchline of when he's back and Mitsuha's body and
yeah,
just like crying. Just like,
yeah.
And the sister walks in and is just like, oh my goodness. Yeah. Like,
love that sister, by the way.
Yeah, she was fantastic. I wish we would have gotten a little more of the moment that the dad mm-hmm. decides to listen to Mitsuha and like what that meant for her, what that meant for him. Like, was there any kind of, that was like a subplot I wish would have gotten explored a little bit more.
But I kind of like it the way they did it. Like, I know what you mean. It would have been satisfying, certainly would have been satisfying to see Mitsuha actually confront her father and like how that conversation went. But I like that the implication is that Taki provides this other half to her. Like, that's one thing I really love about the movie is like when they're going back and forth in each other's bodies, like they're helping each other achieve these things they couldn't have been able to do on their own. And in this moment, like Taki, who's like kind of fiery and has a short temper, like, there's something in that element of him that finally manifests in Mitsuha. It isn't just that Taki has to be there to do it. Like, Mitsuha finally channels that energy through him and is able to like find the confidence to say something to her dad. So you don't have to hear exactly what she said. You just know that like she did it.
Yeah. She was able, like the attitude that she has when she walks up to him.
Yeah.
Is just like, old man, this is how this is about to go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the main characters too. I think I like Mitsuha a little more than Taki.
Yeah, Taki's a bit of a punk sometimes.
He can be, right? Which can be charming, but also
he's a kid.
Yeah. him trying to interview. I thought he was doing a good job in his interview. I also didn't see anything wrong with his suit.
Well, oh, absolutely. And by the time we get to the interview, it's like a few years in the future. And I think the implication that he's matured a lot, and he had like, again, I love this about the, like, he doesn't know why he wants to be an architect, like why he wants to create, why he's so fascinated by Itomori. Like, he just is, like, it's something like you just can't shake, and that's just such a familiar feeling. I think a lot of, like, when you feel your calling, you feel your passion, it doesn't need a reason, but the reason is there. Like, things through space and time have like informed you to be this way, and it's, I just love, that's such a strange thing to defamiliarize in a movie, like such a difficult thing to defamiliarize. And I love that he went for it and I think pulled it off.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah, which, like, getting at that idea of, I mean, there's so much to not only how we're talking about the cultural response to tragedy, but also just youth and coming of age and really letting people know that it's, like, you should be impassioned to, like, explore other sides of yourself. You should be impassioned to, like, follow your interest, whether that's drawing or going to the big city or like listening to this thing that you're drawn to, like that inner calling, like that's okay to explore as well. And that it's also like good, like traditions that are there, like learning about history, like family. There's so much that's like just positive in this movie without much. And you're saying this earlier of like, the traditional, there's conflict, but the lows, the movie puts such like a you got this spin on things, like yeah, you're gonna have difficult relationship with your parents, but like you've got this. Yeah, you might not understand like where it is you're going or what it is you're doing, but you've got this. The people in your life aren't going to understand you at times, but they'll still support you the same way that like Mitsuha's friends like don't kick her out of the group because like the imposter's there and they're like, you're acting different. They just kind of acknowledge that their friends having this other side that they're seeing. Yeah. And like, that's great. Same with Taki's friends. Like the idea that you can have that kind of support in your life from the people in your life, it's a very subtle thing in this movie, but I hope that it's something that resonates with a lot of people and empowers a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it seems to, people are still obsessed with this movie and everything. And it on top of everything you're saying, like this idea of like, you got this, just the absolute despair people face. Like I'm thinking of Suzume and how she's dealing with the grief of losing her mother, and to have a, you got this attitude with that. You know, like even in your name, like we're dealing with two kids who lost their mom, dealing with the thought that your entire town could be destroyed by a comet, like these very deep emotional things that you have to reckon with. The idea of you got this being infused into that, like that's the kind of shit that gets me going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I don't know. Anything else about the movie?
I love the ending. The ending always makes me cry.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a great twist, I feel like, on the title of the movie. Like, it can be kind of a simple title, like, where it just, I guess it means what it means, like, you're this other person, but then getting at the idea of like they forget each other's names and they don't know who the other person is, but like the other person is still important to them, that you're always kind of searching for. It doesn't even necessarily have to be a person. You don't have to paint this movie as like about love, young love, or finding love. It's just that recognizing what this other thing is and what it represents to you in your life and how it's going to help you get on a path to a better you. I feel like the ending captures that when they ask each other what their name is and that this name is going to trigger something in them, that they are going to like find this connection that helps them become something. Like things are a little off. Like, I know there's something else I want out there, but what is it? And this name is like what it is that finally triggers you. I just love that.
Yeah. It's not something that you see done a lot. Like,
yeah,
I feel like that's one of the nice things when you find a film that's taking an interesting angle on something, because so many movies are just modern retellings of core stories. You've kind of seen like the underdog story a lot. We see like the tragedy a lot. We see the star-crossed lovers repeat. Like, but when a movie is able to capture like something just unique in a way to where you're like, I've experienced that, but I've never seen it captured in a narrative before. It's
right.
It's fun. It's one of those moments that just kind of gives like a little spike, a little pop.
I think that's the main reason I really love this movie. Like when I like sit back and look at it as a whole, like I kind of had the feeling you had when you said like it doesn't have the highs of a Spirited Away. Like I look at it and I'm like, this isn't necessarily the movie itself. Like when I just think about its beats and rhythms, like it's just a body switcheroo. Like we've seen that before. Like a lot of these elements are present in other movies, and it has a lot of beats of just like, you know, like teen comedies or high school movies that like I've seen before. It in that sense, it doesn't feel special. But the fact that it's able to achieve these like kind of larger things because it's so philosophical and reflective, it just ends up becoming this thing that makes me feel good and like makes me, it makes me want to reflect on myself and like think about the world at large and like think about my grand connection to it. Like that's a crazy thing for a movie to do.
We didn't do this with Perfect Blue, but where do you have it ranked?
On my all-time movie rankings?
Yeah, your all-time movie rankings.
The all-time movie rankings, which for anyone who doesn't know, these are the rankings we started last year in 2022. So it's not every movie we've ever watched. It's just every movie we've watched since then.
Yeah.
I think on my list, it would be in a list that now, well, I got to go down to the bottom and see how many movies are on this list. 362 movies. I Have No Life. That would be, it'd be ranked very high. I would even, honestly, I would rank it above Perfect Blue, which I think is kind of a perfect movie.
Ooh.
Like, I love Perfect Blue. I connect with the characters. Like, I think it's just super well done. But again, like, there's just, it's more, when it comes to Your Name, it's more about, like, the grand vision it has and how I just kind of connect with it on a philosophical level and what it means to me at this point in my life. Like, it really captures an energy I want. So because of that, it's pretty high. I think I have it up at, let's say, like, 27.
That is very high for you.
Yes.
Given how extensive your list is. That's,
yes.
Like, top 10%?
Perfect Blue is at 38.
Okay. Not top 10%.
Pretty close.
Close, but not there. For me, I've ranked 102 movies all time. I'm a little behind. Like, I think it should be at like 106. But I don't have Perfect Blue on here either yet. So that's how you know it's behind. Perfect Blue right now would be in the top 10 on this list.
For sure.
I think it would probably come in at number 3?
Nice.
2? Might be 2.
Wow. And what's number 1?
American Psycho's at 1. Black Swan's at 2. Prisoners is at 3. I might bump Prisoners over Black Swan.
Ooh. Wow.
Hmm. But I think Perfect Blue would be up there. Like Parasite, Puss in Boots, All Quiet on the Western Front. Mm-hmm. But I still haven't watched like a lot of my favorite movies in the last year.
Yeah.
I
think it's a big difference with me is I constantly rewatch the movies I love.
Yeah. I'm going back through like Letterboxd. So like Fight Club's finally coming up on Letterboxd as like one of the ones I'm watching. I watched John Wick last night and Fight Club finished second in the voting. So I'm guessing I'll probably see Fight Club again soon, and then
Nice. That'll
be the new number one.
Yeah.
I think I'd put Your Name at like 25.
All right. I got to be honest, Chris. That's higher than I expected coming into this episode. I thought you would be driven crazy by all the logic stuff.
Oh, nah. I mean, they set it up like well enough. Like, as you said, like the burning of the fire, we lost our texts, like, why'd she connect with Taki of all people, it's a little bit of the trope of what came first, the chicken or the egg in time travel. Mm-hmm. Like, she connected because she gave him her ribbon, but the only reason she gave him the ribbon was because they were already like body switching.
That's the way they're able to keep their connection, I guess, after the body switching stops.
Yeah, that there's something that kind of like powers them through. I guess just to like, we know that this is they just cover it well enough with the, hey, we had text, but we lost them. Like, that's.
But there were other things I thought would drive you nuts. Like, how does Taki not know the name of her town?
Oh, yeah. Would that not come up at any point in time? I guess you could make the argument that by the time he's going to look for her, the switching's already stopped, and maybe that's one of the first things that's like left his mind.
Yes, I agree. That's what my response to that question is.
Yeah. You could always kind of go with that. Also, like, I don't know, when I was in Canal Fulton, Ohio, which was 5,000 people, there weren't a lot of like Canal Fulton signs.
Yeah.
Maybe there would have been like Itamori like butcher, and like he should have known. It feels like something like one of the first questions you would ask is like, where am I?
Right.
Which is not something we ever hear him.
Or what year is it?
Yeah, what year is it? Who am I? Oh yeah, the year thing. I guess with like the iPhone, he might have thought that it was the same, but like he's looking at her calendar, right? Like, he's leaving notes. Wouldn't he see that the note is saying like April 15th, like 2013?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just love that. I read that was driving a lot of people nuts, and it was just a moment where I was like, I don't care though.
Yeah. I mean, I would just chalk it up to like, it's part of the, however the magic is working, however like the memory is working, clearly like details stick, but they don't stick. So
yeah, if it's not getting in the way of me like connecting with the movie, like that kind of stuff, it's just, it's inconsequential to me. Like, maybe it is a mistake, like maybe narratively it disrupts things, but like, if it doesn't ruin my connection to it and what it's telling me about the world, like, I kind of don't care.
Yeah. But it's also probably some of the reason why it's like down at in the 20s for me rather than up in the.
I understand that.
Like top 10%.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well then.
We did it.
We talked about the movie.
Chris, do you think you and I will ever switch bodies?
I can only hope and continue. I've been hoping, but I can continue to hope.
You could take care of my daughter for one day.
Be like, hi, how do we do this?
She looks at you and just knows you're not me and just starts crying.
Crying immediately. She's just like, where's my dad? And I'm like, I look like him, don't I? And she's like, you do not like do the song with the monkey the way that he does. And I'm
just, that's
like,
true, okay. You don't.
Okay, that would be a dead giveaway.
The monkey song, you gotta know it.
What are we doing? What are we covering next?
Oh gosh. If we're going by movies that have historically performed well on our site, The Wailing's a big one.
Yeah, it's, I mean, looking at like April, like the highlights from April, we've covered Banshees, Everything Everywhere, Black Swan, Your Name, Prisoners, Suzume, Perfect Blue, and then The Wailing's next. It's The Wailing or Vanilla Sky.
Vanilla Sky. I'm going back to the beginning of 2022 till today. So we've covered those four. Oh, Under the Skin is a big one.
Oh, yeah.
It's between those two.
I mean, what are you feeling? Are you feeling The Wailing? Are you feeling Under the Skin?
I'll probably never be feeling Under the Skin, but I know we have to cover it eventually, so I'm indifferent.
Okay, well then, let's start with The Wailing.
Okay, that's good. I can be on a high before I head into the depths of that movie.
Under the Skin's one that, like, we saw it in Toronto. I guess I'm kind of spoiling, but I've come around on it a little bit.
Maybe I will see it again. I've seen it twice now. So.
Yeah.
And I haven't liked it either time, but maybe the third time.
Second time for me, a lot more of the humanity, like, came through.
okay, I'm looking for that. I'll be looking for the humanity this time.
But it does, in our continued like subplot of like negativity, like me speculating of your reaction to negative movies, like Under the Skin is very bleak.
Okay, it's okay. Bleakness is okay if it's earned, so I'm going to go in with an open mind. But The Wailing's next.
Yeah. The okay, Wailing, it shall be. If people haven't watched The Wailing.
Aw, oh, man.
Is it still great available movie. On Amazon?
It was on Hulu at some point. Yeah, and then it must have moved to Amazon. I'm not sure what it's on anymore.
Oh, it's saying Peacock. It has ads. Yeah, so Peacock, not to...
Go, do it.
Peacock is now showing like movies, but the movies include ads, even if you have the premium.
What?
Yeah.
No. So, like,
yeah, John Wick. I was watching John Wick last night and an ad happened in the middle of the movie. I was just like, what the hell is going on? And it's saying for the Wailing too. It's Peacock Premium. It has ads. It's just like four quick like 15-second ads, but fuck that.
What? That's so insane. Why am I paying $10 a month?
I know. So I don't have ads during TV show, but like if you're going to have the movie, don't do that.
Peacock, you're on our list.
I know. That's it was really disappointing. I was starting to like have some goodwill built towards Peacock and
yeah. Gosh, no and longer. They ruined everything. But if you want to be a sponsor of the show, we'd be happy to have you.
Oh yeah, we can edit all of this. But
yeah, but
for money.
Or keep it. I mean, we leave it in, throw it out, doesn't matter. Like, we'll take your money.
just give us money. AMC Plus has it, subs, no ads.
All right, I'll go that direction.
FUBU? What?
FUBU. Yeah, you never use FUBU?
No, is it? No.
Every once in a while, like, FUBU's the only place you can watch a movie, you know?
What a bold name choice.
Yeah, right. Isn't is FUBU the name of the clothing line? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah. For us, by us.
Oh, gosh.
Dave and John.
I would love to read an article about them and how they didn't get sued.
What did it start? It started in New York City.
Huh.
What?
By Sean P. Diddy Combs?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be shocking?
That would make it all make sense.
FUBU was co-founded by David Gandler, Alberto Horihula, and Sung Ho Choi.
They're so thieves.
I wonder where the name comes from.
And if it's an acronym for anything.
Yeah, right? Is it for us by others?
Again, we'll take you as a sponsor no matter what the answer is.
Oh, wow. After learning the name FUBU is short for football, Gandler filled in more details regarding the company and its vision.
Okay. Okay. That's great. You learn something new every day.
Yeah. Okay. Well, interesting. We are an informative podcast.
Yeah. It's a great preview for The Wailing.
The Wailing's so good. Okay.
Great movie.
Until next time.
Bye.